This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
There we go.
Okay.
Good stuff.
to lock some of these.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thank you very much for your company today. I am back in the north of Iceland. I am back with Evelyn Eyre at the new museum celebrating the Icelandic sheepdog. And we spoke...
In March, beginning of March.
Yes, it's only a few months ago. And the building that we're standing in now was being built and constructed at the time. This was your dream to create a museum about the Icelandic sheepdog, and it has become a reality.
Yes, it has become a reality, and it's exceeding a little bit my expectation that I had, so I'm really pleased.
Okay, so you've been open for...
Three months now, yeah.
And how are people finding it? Are they enjoying it?
Oh yes, they enjoy it really a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we have people coming here anyway for going horseback riding.
Yes.
So there's always some traffic going on.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see... You know, like the foreign guests that we get, they come here because of the horse.
Yes.
And then they discover, wow, there's an Icelandic dog too. So many people who went on horseback ride, they also came and had a look into the museum. So we also have like groups that are traveling around the island and they stop here at the farm, and all of them, they had a look in here and they were so pleased.
Yes, and they're glad they did it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. And then we had a lot of Icelandic people coming here and visiting the museum, and they just came because they wanted to see the museum. So, really good.
Well, we're about 20 minutes away here from Varmalíð, and as you say, when you drive past or drive towards this building, the first thing you maybe see are the horses. There are people on horseback just now. That has always been the attraction here for people. But now, of course, there's another reason to come here, which is the Icelandic Sheepdog Centre. And you'll also, if you're very lucky, you'll be the three smiling Icelandic sheepdogs that you have.
Yes, exactly. Last time you were here, there were only two.
There were only two?
Yeah, so 2 days after your last visit, and the third one was coming into the family. And they are a really nice, welcoming committee. And people love coming here. And
who's the baby then? Who's the puppy?
The baby
here?
Is the one there at the door.
And her name is?
Yeah, Fen.
Okay, she's ignoring you.
Yeah, Fen.
Oh, there we go. She's paying attention now. Yes, I was chased by them as soon as I drove up. Or not chased, but they came bounding up to me with those big Icelandic sheepdog smiles on their faces.
Oh yes, yeah, they're always smiling, always, and they're always friendly and in a good mood.
Yeah. Last time we talked a bit about the history of the breed. We can see it all now in this centre, this museum that you've set up. And there is the quote from William Shakespeare, of course, about the Icelandic sheepdog. Pish for thee, Iceland dog, thou prick-eared cur of Iceland.
Yeah, that's a very difficult sentence, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe he wasn't a fan then.
Yes, maybe not really, no, but it's really amazing because this was in 1600 that he had this in his play. So the Icelandic sheepdog was quite popular at that time in the UK. So I think it's really nice. And because I think that this is like a really nice sentence, we put this also up here on the door, which is the timeline. So I think this is one of the key moments.
So Thomas Brown in the UK believed or speculated that when the Icelandic sheepdog came to Britain, it might be a hybrid of a dog and a fox. In fact, he said bastard of the dog and the fox. But there is something fox-like about their appearance, isn't there?
Yes, yeah, it really is. And sometimes, you know, the stop and the ears, a combination of it, they can look a little bit like a fox. Yeah, that's right.
You've got other panels as well that give various descriptions of the dog from the mid-18th century to the mid-20th century. And I think I'm right in saying from last time, this breed is important because it is the only native dog breed in Iceland, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. That's the only native breed, yes. Mm-hmm. And the dog came here with the first settlers, so it has been here all the centuries.
It's been here since settlement.
Yes, yeah.
And it's obviously adapted well to the climate here.
Yes, they have a double fur. So they don't have any problems in wintertime to be outside, but also now in summertime, if it's too warm and too sunny, like it's actually now very, very warm for that time of the year. And then they just lay in the shadow, but they are okay. And they really love to get into the water, play a little bit in the water. Mm-hmm. So they're fine.
Now, you also here in the museum, you describe some of the difficulties that the breed has faced over the years. There has been, as you say here, a fight to save the breed, hasn't there?
Yes, yeah, because the breed was almost extinguished around 1950. So there were, you know, like two people that we have to thank that the breed survived and, yeah, almost came back, or we can say came back. So it has been quite a difficult time, especially in the 20th century for the breed. But now today, I think, yeah, the breed has been saved.
Who saved it?
Well, it's Mark Watson, yeah, from England, mm-hmm. the English man, who raised awareness about that there is a native dog breed mm-hmm. and that the breed is almost extinguishing. So he took 10 dogs out of Iceland to America. He was breeding there for some time mm-hmm. in California. And that was really important that he did it. And so there was the Icelandic woman called Sigríður Pétursdóttir from Ólafsvellir. Mm. And she started the breeding around 1962 or something. So we have to thank her effort to save the breed.
Yes, and it would have been a real tragedy for the country if the breed had disappeared.
Yeah, that would have been like really awful.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
to miss the breed. Close. After centuries, it came close to happening.
Yes, yeah, there were only like a few dogs left, and I found in books there were maybe about 23 dogs left.
And now, what's the population doing now?
We don't really know the exact number, but it is said it is something between 1,200 and 1,500.
So that's a bit healthier.
Yes.
And three of them are in here,
yes.
behaving themselves now,
the ones.
Curled up and being very, very peaceful. Now, I've seen this image before. You've got this on a video screen here. This is, I think, an iconic image of the work that you do. This is you dressed in traditional, very traditional Icelandic clothing. And one of your dogs is giving you a paw.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we took this picture in Glumbær in the local museum.
Yes.
And we made a short film in this clothing and then this on this place.
This is our next visit, this farm, in fact, at Glumbær that you mentioned. I'm not sure whether this conversation will go out before or after that, but I'm going to be standing very soon exactly where you're sitting there without the dog and without the traditional gear. Let's move around to the rest then of the museum, followed by the smiling dogs as we go. Some of the documentation you have here in this display case, again, just shows how long the breed has been around, I suppose.
Yes, that's right. And, these are the sources for my research that I did on the Icelandic sheepdog. We have here the book from Mark Watson about the Iceland dog, which is the main source that we have today. But also here I was always digging for, the basic sources that he was referring to. So I found a lot of books, but this was how my research was going. Mm-hmm. I was digging for, very basic sources to find out, and there are not really books about the Icelandic dog besides the one from Mark Watson, but it's more that I had to find like little chapters in different books to refer to.
And now that this museum is open, have you found that other enthusiasts for the breed in Iceland or maybe outside of Iceland have got in touch?
Yes, quite many people that have got in touch, and I had a lot of visitors also from abroad that are maybe breeding Icelandic sheepdogs, and they came here, and there have been like really nice moments in meeting people here in the museum. So
that's good to know. And how widespread then is the breed around the world? We've talked about the breeding program that had to take place to save the breed, and we've talked about what Shakespeare thought and what Thomas Brown said in the UK. But is the breed in lots of other countries?
Yeah, there are quite many in Europe, I would say, like in the Scandinavian countries, in Germany, and Switzerland, Austria, France. So there are some breeders, but there is also some breeders in the States. So the American Kennel Club was recognizing the breed 2010. Mm. So since then, there has been quite some breeding. So
yes.
It is. I don't know about any Icelandic sheepdogs like in Asia. But I don't know, maybe they are there, and Africa, but...
Well, we've got a worldwide audience on Roof English Radio, so if you're listening in one of those places and you have an Icelandic sheepdog or you're an enthusiast for the breed, then do get in touch. Now, every good museum has a display with buttons that you can press. So here we've got a beautiful painting of an Icelandic sheepdog. This one here, this is
yes, Somi. Somi, yes.
Okay, so Somi was the model, and Somi hearing the name there and looking up with various Icelandic words next to buttons that you can press, as I say, Skotith, Erath, Oigath, various parts of the body.
Yes, yeah, and then you can press the button, and then you see here on the screen, you see like a close-up picture of the different parts.
If I press Oigath for eyes, and there are those beautiful, cheerful, soulful eyes of the Icelandic sheepdog, which one would I press if I want to see the dog smile?
that's a good question. I think I would press here, Anna.
Anna.
There are, you know, like a few pictures about, you know, how they
for
move and,
yes.
and, yeah, for everything. Yes.
And there are some gorgeous shots of the dogs in the snow, loving the winter, loving the climate. Are they looking forward to winter?
Oh, yes, they love the snow, yeah. Always the first snow every year, they really love it, and they just want to play in the snow and roll like here on the on the picture, yeah.
Like the huskies.
Yes.
Same love of the coat.
Yeah, the same love of the coat. Yeah, yeah.
There on the screen is one of the dogs shaking the snow off, having it rolled around in it. There is also a panel here that talks about the dogs and how they fit in or are represented in the folk beliefs of Iceland. A book by Jonas Jonasson, who was a priest, teacher, and scholar. He says, for example, a dog raised during the months of Thori, or Goa, the midwinter months, are the best dogs, because then they'll be just the right age to train for handling lambs in the spring. When were your dogs born?
The youngest one was born in December, so we raised her, you know, at that time. So, and I actually think that she's becoming a great sheepdog. She has a lot of interest. And she was a little bit with us during the lambing season. But now we see, you know, the sheep are coming back from the summer pasture. Mm-hmm. So they're all around and she is really interested. And now we have to teach her that she's not just going to chase them, but that she, you know, looks at them and that mm-hmm. she figures out how she has to move them and so on. So, yeah, I think it has been a good time for raising her.
And some of the other beliefs here, I think, are quite interesting. He also writes in this book about the folklore connected to dogs. Dogs have second sight and can see people's fylgur, spirit companions. When dogs become agitated, barking furiously in the evenings, whether indoor or outdoors, it's because they sense spirit companions or something unclean nearby. Now, when I came here, I was welcomed once again by the three dogs, but when the postman arrived, all the dogs were barking furiously at him.
Yeah, I think they really make a difference, you know, between the people that come here. And I think they somehow know if there is someone coming, you know, just for visiting or, you know, if he has some other things to do. So
Do you think the postman is a spirit companion?
I don't really know. Maybe.
Maybe. They seem obviously like a very cheerful, very happy breed, but are they an intelligent dog as well, do you think?
Yes, I would say so. They're quite intelligent and, you know, they're very sensitive for, you know, the people's feeling. And, I think they're intelligent.
And then at the end of the exhibition, you ask the question in one of the panels, is there actually such a thing as an Icelandic dog?
You know, this is actually a story about the first Icelandic sheepdog coming to Canada. And, you know, so there was the question, there was a family that had roots in Iceland, and all their neighbors, you know, they had their own native dog breed there, but this Icelandic family was also longing for a dog, and then they asked someone, is there something like an Icelandic dog? They had not heard before that. So this is when they, you know, searched for an Icelandic dog, and this is the story about the dog coming to Canada.
And they found the answer was very much yes.
They got in touch with Sigrid Pietersdottir, the woman I was talking about before, and they could buy a dog from her.
Yes.
And he was the first dog imported to Canada.
The one you've got a photo of here that was imported has I don't know whether it's just the way the photo's been taken, but much darker colorings than the three dogs you have here.
Yes, they have different colors, and you also see the poster here on the door.
Yes.
And there you can see the different colors. So they come in tricolor, which is, you know, the black and white and some red markings, but they can also be like chocolate brown, yes, or a little bit lighter than my dogs are.
I think the ones that you have here, this is kind of, it's what I think of when I think of the Icelandic sheepdog. Is this the most common colouring, the light browns and the whites?
Yes, I think that would be the most common colour that we have. Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, you can come and see the museum. I guess you can meet the dogs as well, because they're obviously here and they're very happy to meet people by the sounds of things.
Yes, they're always here. The greeting, welcome. During summertime, we are open from 9 till 6. And I think we will have this out of September. Mm-hmm. And after that, people can just get in touch and then we open.
Okay.
We are here most of the days, so we can always open without any problems.
And it's the first year, of course, of this. So you'll get a sense by next year of how many people want to come in November, December. But as you'll know, people are coming to Iceland and touring all year round now.
Yeah, so this was also the meaning, you know, to have something for the people to do who come here in the wintertime. And maybe there are not so many activities going on, but it's always possible to have a visit to a museum. So I think it's nice to have this in winter.
I'm delighted that you've got this up and running. I know how much you were looking forward to that the last time we spoke and how much of a dream this has been for you. And it's great to see it doing so well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Evelynia, thanks very much indeed. We'll put a link up, of course, to the new centre here, the new museum, on the page accompanying the show from Ruv English Radio. My name is Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from Ruv English, with all the news from Iceland in English, at ruv.is/English. Ruv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Ruv.